This is the Rick Edelman Show.
Employers are having a rough go of it this year with waves of retirees, lots of job openings, and significant challenges in attracting and retaining new hires. Employers are desperate, basically, to hire new employees, and they're looking for new ways to entice employees to come on and to keep them happy at work. And some of this is coming through benefits and programs. A new study showed that about 95% of employers are reporting a sense of responsibility for their employees' financial wellness. Employers are more often offering financial wellness programs, with about 46% now doing so, up from 40% last year. And education is in large part of that offering, with almost half of employers now offering access to financial advisors and other programs built around financial planning and building good financial habits. Some of the areas that are of focus in these wellness programs are things like helping employees to save for college for their children, managing debt, planning for future healthcare costs. Maybe it's building a rainy day fund, or what we like to call your emergency fund. In fact, more and more employers are adding emergency savings accounts to their employee benefits programs. So not just teaching you about them, but giving you access to them. The Federal Reserve in 2019 had reported that about 37% of adults did not have the funds to cover a $400 emergency. And nearly a quarter of respondents to a Federal Reserve survey in 2020 said they were worse off than that. Now, from an employer's perspective, it's not only about attracting and retaining talent. It's also about their employees' productivity while they're at work, because workers who are stressed about money are just often much less productive. In fact, one in three workers surveyed said that financial stresses is what's creating workforce challenges for them, like absenteeism. According to another survey, about a quarter of employers are offering emergency savings accounts within their retirement plan. And another 19% or so said that if they're not offering it now, they're likely to add it in the future. A couple of employers that have already done this, well, KFC's nonprofit KFC Foundation is offering workers $240 over 6 months to match contributions into an emergency savings account. UPS is letting some of their workers divert some of their paycheck into an emergency fund within a 401k plan. And because of this increased demand from employers, investment companies are often launching workplace programs that are designed to help workers build emergency savings through payroll deductions. Because about 6 to 8% of retirement account owners rated their retirement plan in 2020, that's a couple percentage points higher than your average year. Now, if your employer is offering one of these plans, then it might be a great way for you to start to build that discipline, because it's a lot easier to save, in my opinion, if you automate it. Put a certain amount in each week or each month or biweekly or, you know, however you get paid into a savings account. If your employer sets it up, great. But if they don't, set it up on your own. Set it up so that every time you get a paycheck, a little bit of that money every time goes into savings. Now, here we typically say you should have somewhere between 6 and 24 months in an emergency fund. Now, I know that's a large range, but how much is really custom to you. And remember that sometimes the emergency fund might not be your priority. So, you know, if, say, you have a large amount of unsecured debt, like a credit card loan or personal loan, I mean, maybe you need to focus on that first before you build that emergency fund. But again, the easiest way to do that is to automate it. Use technology to help you. You know, make weekly payments on the card, focusing on the high interest first, and have it be set up automatically. And do that until it's paid off. Then, when it's paid off, now we can refocus onto the emergency funds. And while some people are focused on their employer's salary and the benefits offering, should you also be looking at your future career-wise, long-term? Not only the company's health, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, that's important, but what about the health of your industry in general, the career path that you're on? We are now 10 years into a sharp decline in the country's active workforce, and we have an aging population. And as these baby boomers get older, there are just not enough workers to fill their shoes. And the U.S. is expected to add about 12 million new jobs between now and 2030. But that's only half of the 22 or so million jobs that were added in the 2010s decade. And COVID-19 has also changed the work landscape. Millions of Americans have just left the workplace altogether, either temporarily or permanently. And after we had solid job growth in July, the economy has slowed down, adding only 235,000 positions in August. And that was a lot less than economists had predicted. And as some businesses prepare for this continued sort of exponential growth, there are other industries that are just starting to slowly disappear. The biggest decline over the next 10 years is predicted to fall into three main categories: office and admin support, sales and retail, and production. Now, some of these changes were inevitable and had started well before COVID, just due to e-commerce or technology and automation, but the COVID pandemic has really moved up that timeline in many cases because obviously it kept people out of stores. Retail trade is projected to lose more than 500,000 jobs by 2030. That's the most of any occupation, the most expected losses. Now, other jobs are also disappearing as more and more companies are embracing automation, robotics, cloud-based software. And about half of the industries projected to face the toughest losses are in manufacturing. Now, in terms of office support or clerical work, companies are continuing to more often turn to handling those tasks with software, like scheduling meetings. And this is reducing entry-level positions that are available for many employers. Because of that, there's an impact not only on older people, but also younger people. Total employment in the U.S. is expected to grow to about 165 or so million over the next 10 years. However, the percentage of our population working or actively looking for a job is projected to drop by a couple percentage points between now and 2030. And this dip can be attributed in large part to the aging baby boomers, but also just an overall decline in labor force participation. Now, when we lose jobs in some areas, we gain them in others. So what are the potentially fastest growing jobs over the next decade? What should you be thinking about if you're in the midst of a career change? Now, many of the growth over the next 10 years or so is predicted to be in industries that, interestingly, were hardest hit by the pandemic, like food preparation, servers, cooks, fast food employees. Well, those roles are projected to grow by about 1.5 million jobs by 2030. And other jobs that are expected to grow are falling into a couple of main categories like renewable energy, data, and healthcare. In fact, wind and solar have skyrocketed in terms of jobs and installation as those costs come down. Wind turbine service technicians topped the list of the most in-demand job over the next decade. It's expected to jump by 68% for wind turbine service technicians. And other occupations such as IT analysts, data scientists, all of those are going to continue to become more and more popular as people continue to work from home and online. And the pandemic obviously has also created an unprecedented need for healthcare workers. But, you know, that job demand was already there anyhow because of our aging population. So what are a couple of the fastest growing jobs over the next decade in addition to those wind turbine service technicians? Nurse practitioners. Average growth expected of about 52% over the next decade. Median salary, $117,000. Now, you do need a master's degree and a license, right? But $117,000, it sounds like a pretty good gig. Solar PV installers, projected growth rate of 51%, you know, adding the solar panels on the roof of your house. What about home health aides? That's a huge one. Projected growth rate of 34%, median salary just under $30,000, but you don't need anything but a high school diploma or equivalent. Now, what about physician's assistants? Obviously, those who are working with doctors and surgeons to diagnose and treat. Median salary, $115,000, and projected growth rate of over 30%. So we're talking about what are the jobs of the future. And as we think about the future, we know that by the year 2035, About half of the occupations today and some of those industries could be gone. And it's because of the rapid changes that are coming our way because of disruptive technology. Rick will be hosting a brand new virtual event, The Truth About Your Future, on Tuesday, October 19th at either 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The presentation is meant to help you understand these coming changes that could reshape everything from tax law to how you live, how you work, or how you prepare for retirement. Rick will discuss the potential changes involved in the latest technology like artificial intelligence, 3D printing, neuroscience, the blockchain. So join Rick Tuesday, October 19th at either 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. You can go to EdelmanFinancialEngines.com to register. You're listening to The Rick Edelman Show. I'm Isabel Barrow.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results. An index is a portfolio of specific securities. Common examples are the S&P, DJIA, NASDAQ, the performance of which is often used as a benchmark in judging the relative performance of certain asset classes. Indexes are unmanaged portfolios, and investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance does not guarantee future results.